Okay, so it's Thursday, May 29th at almost 6:55, and we are at Kiowa Library Branch. We have a quorum. Every member of the board is here. We have our Pledge of Allegiance. We have our little...
The flag is
little
way
flag.
Up there.
Okay.
So we can stand.
Yeah. I don't even... We can see it. Invisible. Yes.
Okay.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States
of America,
and to the Republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I saw it once, so yeah.
It's all right. It's like it's in our minds.
Yes.
Okay, do we have an acceptance of the agenda? A motion to accept the agenda?
I make a motion that we accept the agenda.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Now we have Lori Hendrick, presentation of the audit.
Thank you. I was wondering if I could ask a favor. Can I share my screen with you all so you can see what I'm wanting to go through? That may be easier for you all.
Yeah, let me just take a look at this here.
Okay, I'm sorry to put you on the spot like that.
No. And I think I just have to go over here. And I'm going to make you a presenter. Okay, there you go. So,
yep, that worked. Okay.
Awesome.
Are you guys seeing now the audit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Love it when technology works the way you want it to. So, hello, everyone. My name is Lori Hendrick. I am the auditor that conducted the 2024 audit. I'm with the firm May Jackson Hendrick, and we are located in Parker, not too far from you all. Been your auditor for the last couple of years, and do appreciate the opportunity to have done it again for 2024. It's always a joy to work with Susan and Mary Ellen. Great group of people. I think we have a very strong collaborative effort that we use each other's skills and strengths as a sounding wall so that we can come up with new techniques that may be better for the organization as a whole. So with that, let me give you a little bit of the overview of the audit. I conducted the field work back in the last week of January, so it's been 4 months, but that's what it takes for an audit when you have Susan and Mary Ellen, who are doing a full-time job outside of having to deal with me, and then with a board that we're, trying to get in front of you guys. So I personally appreciate the opportunity to be able to present this to you. We booked a total of 22 adjusting journal entries, and that is what we do to change the financial statements from how they looked initially to where we are presenting them today. The bottom line swing was a $35,000 increase to the bottom line. And that's due to a number of transactions. In fact, let me pull this up. This is what we call our adjusting journal entry report, and it goes through with the details of the accounts that were adjusted. Some items were the result of changes to the beginning retained earnings or net assets, as you guys call it, for a nonprofit. Other changes would have been related to accrual adjustments when we take the books from a cash basis to an accrual basis where we're recognizing expenses that are related to the period but not necessarily have been paid, or on the flip side, we're recognizing revenue that hasn't been received but is attributed to 2024. If you're looking at this report, you will see in the net income effect the negatives and the positives. These are the bottom line adjustments to the net income, even though you guys are a nonprofit, but that bottom change in net assets. So you'll see that there are several journal entries here that go one way and then another way, but ultimately, at the end of the day, after we look at the 22 entries, there's that $35,000 swing on the bottom line. Now, those journal entries that we recorded, they get translated onto what we refer to as your trial balance. And I don't know if you guys have this in your packet, but if not, we can look at it here. The first column that you see is this represents the balances that were given to me when I started the audit. The adjustments, those adjusting journal entries that I just showed you, they get posted in this column. And then the adjusted balance, that is what you will see in QuickBooks once Mary Ellen books all the adjustments for 2024. I have to go further and make additional adjustments to get to what we call the GAAP compliant financial statements versus this adjusted balance, which is the governmental financial statements. The library operates on a different basis than what GAAP, meaning generally accepted accounting principles. You guys are a governmental entity. You work more on a cash basis. Money that's spent is shown as an expense, and revenues that come in are shown as revenues. So I'll go through that in the audit, but this document then is what's used to populate the audited financial statements. Now, with the audited financial statements, the first document you're going to see here is what we call the management discussion and analysis. This is put together by Susan and is a great precursor to the audit that follows. This is an excellent opportunity for financial readers who are maybe not as financial savvy to read through what happened during the year for the organization. It's more of a layman's approach. And gives a nice little summary of the financial statements, the changes, and what's on the horizon with the organization. What fun and exciting things do you guys have coming down the pike? So take some time and review this if you haven't already. It's a great, like I said, precursor and synopsis of the audit. The next report is what we call the auditor's report, and there are several different opinions that can be rendered in an audit. The opinion that we have given you for the audit is the cleanest, highest opinion, called an unmodified, or you may have heard it as an unqualified opinion. And it doesn't say those words per se here in the paragraph, but in this paragraph, this will address that we don't have any issues. In our opinion, everything reports fairly, and so on. Now we'll get into the nitty gritty of the audit. All right, so our first report here is what we call is everybody seeing that okay? Thumbs up, yes. We're all good? Okay. First report is that balance sheet. And as I mentioned, that the library reports on a governmental basis. And so we show the governmental fund in the first column and the adjustments that I have to make in the second column to get to what I referred to earlier as the GAAP compliant financial statements. So we'll concentrate mostly on this first column because this is what you as a board are more used to seeing when you look at the QuickBooks financial statements. So let's run down this. If you have questions, by all means, just flag me down and we'll stop and talk about it right then and there. All right, so cash. You guys are pretty cash heavy, as you know already. That consists of the monies that are held in your Community Bank of Colorado. You have a checking, payroll, and a money market account. Those are the dollars that are represented here in that $2.8 million. Also includes some small amounts of your petty cash that's held at each library, as well as the registers, the cash registers that you have on site. Accounts receivable, that is a small amount that is due to the organization and I believe has since been paid to them. There was an instance during 2024 where PARA withdrew an amount twice. And so this was the amount that they were refunding. And Mary Ellen's nodding her head like, thumbs up, we got that money back, or at least applied to another payment that was due. Our receivables for the property and SOT, the specific ownership taxes, those are the amounts that are estimated by the county that are provided to us. And then we go through and come up with a 5% allowance, 7%, my apologies. And honestly, in the years that I've been auditing you guys, we've never had to dip into this allowance. In fact, receivables more often than not, as you know, are higher than what we anticipate. So we're sitting at that amount at 1.7. Prepaids represent any monies that were paid in the current year that will be for services that we as an organization will get benefit for in 2025. That consists of mostly your insurance policies. So you pay for a whole year at one time, but that policy will flow into 2025. Also included in that is my retainer for the audit that I was performing in 2025, but was paid in 2024. Okay, so we'll see here our first set of adjustments. We have to, for GAAP compliant financial statements, record your fixed assets, your capital assets. But for governmental, you guys don't do that. Because as I said before, when money is spent, it's an expense to you guys, right? That way you know what kind of cash do we have on hand. But for GAAP compliant purposes, we have to capitalize those fixed assets and depreciate them. You guys did have some pretty good capital additions this year. They were about $14,000 spent on your Microsoft 365 migration. You also had an ADA door installed in Elizabeth. That was roughly $7,900. You had new flooring put in Elizabeth, which was about $45,000. Now, a side note on that, those carpet squares were all donated to the organization. However, we have to capitalize that or recognize that as an in-kind contribution. It's something that you would have had to have gone out and bought had somebody not donated it to you. So we do capitalize it and recognize it as a contribution. And then, of course, the final one is all the new books that you guys bought during the year. We capitalize those and depreciate them as well. So all of that added up to, I'll have to go to the footnote, but we'll get to it. We did have current depreciation of $126,000 and some change. And then, of course, we wrote off the old books from 5 years ago. So we capitalize, depreciate over 5 years, and then write off the balance. All righty. Moving on down to deferred outflows and resources. Again, this amount is not reported for the governmental, but it is for our GAAP. These adjustments that you'll see here in the asset section and then down below in the liability section primarily represent the adjustments we have to make for PARA. Many years ago, it's probably been 11 years now, there were changes to the requirements of recognizing the PARA future liability for your employees. Now, PARA is responsible for that liability, but as an organization, we had to reflect that portion of the liability and the asset of these PARA adjustments, as well as the other post-employment benefits. So although you see this in the GAAP compliant financial statements, please do not be alarmed of the asset and the liability, that this is something that the library district is not per se held responsible for, but it just is representing your portion of those assets and liabilities. Accrued expenses and salaries and payroll taxes, that is a combination of primarily your payroll. The way you guys pay, the last payroll in 2024 is paid in the very beginning of 2025. So we recognize all the salary and wages as a current year expense, as well as any of the employer portion of the payroll taxes and PARA. Let's see. Moving on down, our liabilities section here, our long-term liabilities and retirement plans. Again, nothing's being reported here in the first column because you don't record that, but we do have to show the liability for GAAP purposes. These amounts, the first two, the due within 1 year and the due in more than 1 year, another GAAP adjustment is that we have to recognize the future payments due on any leases that we've entered into. So you guys have a lease on the Simla library property, and there are future payments that you have signed a contract and an agreement that you will pay for leasing that. And these are those future liabilities associated with it. Also included in this amount are compensated absences. So, of course, our employees get vacation time and sick time that is, you know, paid out in lieu of them being there when they're on vacation or sick. That liability is also recorded for GAAP purposes. So here's the deferred inflows again. Our retirement plans is simply that, the GASB adjustments for PARA. And then our property tax and specific ownership tax revenue. Again, this is the amount that we're projecting will be collected in 2025. And you'll see that 1.7 matches with this 1.7 up here as well, the net zero. So for the governmental purposes, we don't have what we refer to as retained earnings or net assets. Instead, we have a fund balance, and that consists of our prepaid money, as well as any Tabor dollars that we have to set up in accordance to the state law. And then, of course, you as a board have been tucking away money in the capital improvements for a new building in Elizabeth or addition, you know, improvement to the building you have. So this increased by $300,000 in 2024. So kudos to the organization of being good stewards of your finances and being able to set that aside. Now, you'll see that these amounts all become zero for the GAAP financial statements. And instead for GAAP, we have what we refer to as a net position. Basically the same thing, just a different title, and it gets broken out a little bit differently. We show our investment in capital assets. That 1.6 is this amount less the lease on Simla. And then here we have our Tabor, our capital improvements, and then the remaining unrestricted dollars. So in nonprofit terms, what that tells you is basically the organization has $1.7 million that is not earmarked for something else, meaning not a capital improvement and not a Tabor requirement. Okay, that is a lot of information to take in for this financial statement here. Any questions or clarifications? It's a lot. All righty.
Amazing how much money.
It's a good thing to have that kind of money. You guys are doing great, especially with what plans you have ahead. All righty. Statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balance. That will be your first column. Again, broken down that this is the governmental, what you're used to seeing. Adjustments are what I have to do to get to these GAAP financial statements on the far right. This is set up a little bit different for a governmental entity where we start with expenses. A little bit different. I'm sure if you've looked at financial statements in the past, it's usually revenue minus expenses. So here we have one lump sum total of operating. So last year it was $1.2 million for you, plus your pension and other post-employment benefits of $106,000. That gets broken out because we have to do those adjustments for GASB 65 and 78. Excuse me. And so these are requirements for those PARA and OPEB benefits. Also, we have capital outlay that is shown as a zero here because you guys don't capitalize again for the governmental. Instead, that gets lumped in to that total expense of $1.2 million. And for the GAAP, I have to break that out. So that was the total of fixed assets that you guys capitalized during the year, $162,000. Now we get down to our revenues. So operating grants and contributions, that, as I mentioned before, includes the in-kind contributions that you received during the year. Not only did you have the carpet that was donated to Elizabeth, but you had other in-kind contributions from the Friends and the Foundation, where they will buy items for the library that they may need. A great example is, you know, I think at one point you guys had sewing machines that were done, or Xboxes that are put in for the kiddos, or computers and so on. So those are items that if you as a library district wanted to buy to improve the libraries, you would have had to have expensed them and capitalized them and, you know, spent the cash on it. But instead, this was donated from the Friends and Foundation. Oh, goodness, have you seen that? Sorry. Also included in this amount here is you had one grant from the Colorado State Library grant that was recognized during the year. And you guys get that pretty much every year. It's not a huge amount. It's like $7,000, I believe. But, you know, everything's helpful. Charges and services, pretty negligible, as ever since you guys did away with your late fines and so on. Now it's just really for meetings, rooms and rental of that, or if there's been something that was damaged and had to be replaced. Then we get down to our general revenues, which are those property taxes and SOTs. So just out of to give you a little bit of information, the property taxes, those went up $400,000 from 2023. The SOT went up $34,000. And here's the exciting one, too, is that interest income went up $11,000. So huge kudos to you guys for being great stewards of your money and realizing that those idle funds should be invested to work for you. So some great bumps there. And hence the reason why you were able to put an additional $300,000 into that capital fund. So you'll see bottom line is called either net change in fund balance, which was $619,000 to the good, or change in net position, $716,000. Difference being that we capitalized the fixed assets here. We didn't expense them. We put them over to the balance sheet and are depreciating it. So that's why this number is larger. Okay, any questions on basically the profit and loss statement? Okay, the next two schedules that you'll see in the financial statements are a reconciliation that brings the two financial statements that we just looked at together. So on the first one, which was the balance sheet, it's giving you a reconciliation of how did we get from the governmental fund financial statements to the GAAP financial statements. And as I mentioned before, the differences are because we capitalize and depreciate fixed assets. We have the right of use liability for the lease, as well as the lease liability. And then all of the adjustments for our GASB adjustments of PERA and OPEB, as well as our compensated absences. Those items are not reported in your governmental financial statements, only in the GAAP. Then we do the same thing, but now for that profit and loss statement showing those differences. So perfect example is the capital assets versus the depreciation and the lease amortization that we're having to recognize and the current year expense on the compensated absences. Again, lots of information, kind of have to really tick and tie those numbers back and forth to get the flow of them. Any questions? No? Okay.
It makes sense from the standpoint that one against the other and it the figures balance at the end. So that's the part that counts.
Yes, yes. As an accountant, CPA, yes, we love it when things balance. So that it's all good. All righty. So on page 15 is the start of the footnotes. Note one is always, and no matter what, for all financial statements or audited financial statements, the summary of significant accounting policies. So this will go through and give you a synopsis of how did we handle the accounting of these numbers. You'll see that our basis of presentation here includes like a hierarchy for the governmental fund financial statements and GAAP for the other set of financial statements. So treatment of, you know, cash basis or a hybrid version and accrual basis. And so it just goes through these details of how we measure transactions and when we record them. This footnote has not changed since prior years. It gets updated, for example, in this section of money that's being, you know, that's new for the new current year of how it's being held and so on. The nitty gritty of the footnotes start with note number two. Let's see. Here we go. Cash. All right. So as of the end of the year, we had $2.8 million, as you saw before. And again, this is completely unrestricted dollars. Now, when we say that, it doesn't mean you can go out and buy yourself a new couple of speedboats or something like that. It's all for what's the mission and purpose of the library district. So that's where our cash flow was sitting as of the end of the year. And you know that some of that money's been earmarked for certain purposes. For example, Tabor, money has to be set aside for that. You know, and you have $825,000 set aside for your capital improvements. All righty. Note three is a great breakdown of those fixed assets or capital assets that we looked at earlier. again, here are the additions that I talked about. $52,000 in building additions, your carpet and your new door. Library materials are the new books that you guys would have bought in non-printed material. The $13,650 is the migration on the Microsoft 365. And then, of course, down here is our depreciation. This here in the deletion column, like I said before, for GAAP purposes, doesn't mean that these books are necessarily gone. We capitalize and depreciate them over 5 years. So in 5 years, the value of those books that were capitalized 5 years ago is zero. So we write it off. But those books still exist most likely within the library district. As you know, that things come and go, right? Books may grow legs. They may, you know, just be worn out. And so you dispose of them as that happens. This is just simply a method of accounting for it. Down here is the leased asset. That's that similar lease that we have. And we have a right or an asset to that lease of when it started, $120,000. That was the basically the fair market value or the net present value of those lease payments taken into account a discounted rate. And then we are amortizing those over the life of the lease. And I believe it ends in 2027. We will see here in the footnotes. But you'll see that now the net value here on the far right of that lease is sitting at $60,000. All right, commitments. So this lease mostly will deal with any future obligations that the library district has. And as I said, we are the lessee on the Simla lease. And yes, so this lease does end in 2027. So you'll see that we have roughly $63,000 remaining in lease payments over the next 3 years. Also, other liabilities that we have are the compensated absences. We started the year at $26,000 and we added to it $20,000 and then we took away from it $4,000. So we ended up at the end of the year at $42,648. That was a big increase as we went through some changing of personnel and, you know, you have increases in the tiered schedule as to when employees get additional weeks of vacation, as well as your employees are being paid more each year. So obviously that liability goes up because we're going to pay out that salary or these compensated absences at their most current rate. Now,
okay, I have one question. I have one question. Back on that other deal on our lease at Simla on 2027, the deal there is about $8,000 less. How did that happen? Does something happen that goes down our lease that year?
No, it means that your lease ends halfway through the year, most likely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So okay. Based on what you said, yeah, you can see that it's representing gotcha. Only a portion of the year. So if you think of it, right. It's probably okay. July or something. Well, sure. Probably later than that. Yeah. Yeah. Great okay. question. Good catch. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Note 5, this is relating back to the PARA plan that everybody participates in. This footnote is put together by PARA and given to us, and then we populate the various details of the balances for the library district in here. This is very detailed as to what they're giving us. And it is a way of accounting for, it's all your actuarial work of, the life expectancies, the payouts and so on. And you'll see it's very detailed and, like these percentages I'm not coming up with. However, I am using those percentages to get the dollar amounts of those outflows and inflows we saw on the first balance sheet. And you can go through and again and tick and tie this, but I always tease that if you're having a hard time sleeping at night, pick up the financial statements and read this footnote. It gets really, really into the weeds here. But, they work hard to make sure that there are funds available for when everybody retires. So you'll see note 5 is quite lengthy, makes up a good portion of our footnotes. And then note 6, little bit blurb here on the volunteer investment program, but note 7 is the one that now gets into that, what we call the OPEB or the other post-employment benefit. Again, PARA's giving us this information and I am populating it with the library district specific information. Another very lengthy footnote. All righty. So note 8, not a lot to say here, just really talking about our fund balance and our net position. Again, if you look at it in a for-profit situation, this is your retained earnings. This is how the organization has performed from the beginning of time. It's the accumulation of all those years that you were in the red and when you were in the black. It's the net effect of all of that. Related organizations, we talk here about the Library Foundation and the Friends of the Library. And down here, the bits of information about the in-kind contributions that were received throughout the year. We also have an agreement with the Elizabeth Library, where this is in the Elbert School District school building, and the agreement of what happens should that agreement cease to exist, and what happens to those books and so on. So that is spelled out here. This footnote hasn't been updated as the agreement hasn't changed either. Of course, we talk about management estimates. We estimate what do these future assets and liabilities look like, and just to know that the actual results could be different than what we're estimating. And then our last footnote is our subsequent event footnote. And right now there is nothing that we've identified as a subsequent event that we would have to address. A great example was back when we entered into COVID at the beginning of 2020. When we did the 2019 audit in 2020, the subsequent event read that we don't know what the future holds with COVID. We don't know what kind of impact that's the financial impact that'll have on the organization. So obviously you can have those types of extremes in a footnote for a subsequent event, or you could very simply have something that, maybe you entered into a new lease agreement during the time period I was auditing, but was not in effect in 2024, but would be interesting financial information for a reader to know about. So that sums up the financial statements and the footnotes. Now we have supplementary information. First one is your budget versus actual. When we say actual, we mean those governmental financial statements, not the GAAP ones. And so what's really exciting here is if you look at, and I'm sure you guys know this already, total revenues were budgeted at 1.7 mil, but you came in at 1.9. So there's your positive 211,000. Your expenditures came in at budget for 1.4, but you only spent 1.3. So again, you were to the positive of 72. Bottom line, you were over budget to the positive of $284,000 almost. So excellent job there by you guys. The following schedules, let's see, that's a big one, if you can see. This is a 10-year summary of those para adjustments and information. And you'll see that we've never been below our contribution. We've always made the correct contribution amounts. So you'll see zero for all of those. And then this one here is for that OPEB. It's not 10 years yet. We haven't been doing it for 10 years, but we're getting there. What is this? 3, 6, 7. So in 3 more years. Again, information that just talks about you know, our coverage, the liability, and if we've made the appropriate contributions for our employees here, and you'll see that it's all zero. And then a footnote that goes with that. And that is the 53 pages of the audit. Any questions or items that you guys would like to go back and look over again?
It's a lot. Hey, Lori, this is Susan.
Yeah.
So just a question for you. If I wanted to use the audit report to look at the health of the district over time, because I know we can definitely see it for a year, what the health is.
Yes.
But what, you probably know what I'm going to ask. What numbers would I look at to compare audits from previous years?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I had talked about the fund balance and the net position being almost a synonymous term to retained earnings. And what those terms mean is basically what you just asked. What is the health of the organization from the beginning of time, right? Because we've had years where we've had very positive bottom line, like this year. But we also had years where we didn't do that, and our cash flows were down, and we were not giving raises or cutting back on staff. So we look at those pluses and those minuses, and that's where we come to at this fund balance and net position. Fund balance is the amount that you guys will see in QuickBooks, okay? And so right now you can see from the beginning of time, you guys have accumulated in your fund balance $2.8 million. So I could, if you give me a minute after I get done with this, I'll tell you what that change is. It's, you know, from the prior year, which would essentially be your revenue, bottom line. But of this 2.8, that amount isn't all yours. It's been allocated to a portion of it is sitting in your prepaid expenses. A portion of it is sitting in Tabor, meaning it's set aside for that. And then a portion of it is that capital improvement. So here is what's unassigned. Here's really like your cash that you would have available in future years. I think that's a fair statement. So Susan, if you were to pull out the audit from last year and compare this fund balance to this year, the fund balance would go up because you guys had a positive bottom line.
Yeah.
Okay. Now it looks a little bit differently.
Better.
What was that?
It's about 300,000 better.
Yeah.
From 1 year to the next.
Mm-hmm. And hence, you know, we saw it there in the bottom line that we just looked at with the budget versus actual. Yeah. So you can also use the same analogy with the net position. However, I don't think that's as financially useful to you guys because you operate on a month-to-month basis during the year using these governmental fund financial statements. So I would refer to this more. But we can also do the same thing, pull out the audit and look at it in the net position. But see, we break it out differently. We take a portion of that and say, okay, we've swallowed up a bunch of our money and put it into fixed assets. This is that value of those fixed assets. But we also have money set aside for Tabor capital improvements. And then bottom line, we have a 1.7 essentially. So it's just a matter of how we've accounted for it. So I think the way we could look at it here, Susan, is here's our net change of fund balance. That actually went up $619,000. But you guys took an additional $300 and put it into your capital improvement. So it's Alan, right? I couldn't see you quite right there. There you go. Now I can see you. When you said $300, yeah, we went up $619, but we put $300 into capital improvement, right, which left us with the remaining $300 that popped that number up.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So we're all on the same page. Does that help?
Yep.
Yeah, that's an excellent question.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else?
Overall, we're in pretty darn good shape.
You guys are looking great. I mean, from the beginning of time, when I started auditing you guys, you know, it looked very different, right? And you guys really tightened up the belt and made some changes and all to the positive. So, yeah, moving in the right direction.
Well, the good part is we have increased salaries to employees, and we have been able to, the increases that we've done have not exceeded our increase in property tax and and the other funds that we get. So we, our projections, everything has been pretty darn good from year to year, especially for the last 3 years.
Yeah. And I think when you're in a position like you are right now, where your infrastructure is pretty solid. I mean, yes, I know you guys are interested in changing and meeting needs of your growing environment in Elizabeth. But when you have this kind of cash flow, you have to ask yourself as a board, what do we do with it? And I think the best thing that you can do is to start off and invest in your employees, because the better your staff, the better the services provided. And we know, you know, think about it in your for-profit world of how expensive it is to hire somebody and to lose them after you've got them up and training, and then to have to go through that all over again. You lose so much ground. So I think one of the best investments you can make when you're sitting in this kind of a financial position is in your employees. It's just, you know, you're paying it forward. It's that perpetual movement forward of then better service and more hours and, you know, meeting the needs of your constituents and so on. So that's my 2 cents worth. But as you said, you know, your employees are much happier nowadays. And a happy employee means they're doing good things for you. So. Awesome. So, all righty, that's all I have. If you have questions, you know, you lay down tonight to go to bed and go, I forgot to ask. Susan knows how to get a hold of me. I really, really appreciate the opportunity to work with you guys. I just really enjoy the staff, and libraries speak dear to my heart. So thank you for the opportunity. And just let me know if there's anything else.
Thank you, Lori. We really appreciate working with you. You're just a delight to work with.
Oh, likewise. So. Right back at you.
Can I say that about the audit? I don't know.
It's a little painful. Yes. I would agree. Yes. Yeah. So, all right. Well, listen, I'll sign off. And then, Susan, if you want to let me know in the near future if the audit's approved, then we'll get it finalized.
Okay. That sounds great. Thank you.
All right. You guys have a great evening. Oh, did you all survive the storms? Did you get bad storms then last night?
No, they kind of went right around us.
It was
a good mess.
Well, good. I'm glad everybody's okay. All right. Take care.
Thanks,
Lori.
Bye-bye.
And this is Mary Ellen. I just want to say that as soon as you approve the audit and Lori sends us a finalized audit report, I will submit it to the state so that we stay copacetic with those guys.
And our deadline to submit it to the state is the 30th of June. Is that correct, I believe?
That is correct.
Okay. So we would need to approve it at this board meeting or at our June board meeting, approve the audit. So
can we approve it tonight?
I think we can, because I don't see any major discrepancies from one balance side to the other.
That wasn't my concern. I agree with that. It's whether it isn't on the agenda, so may we still make a motion to approve it so you guys aren't sitting around waiting.
I mean, it's part of the audit. So
okay, we had the presentation of the audit. So my thought process with this deal here, while it's fresh in everybody's mind on what we looked at, it makes sense to make a motion and do the approval at this time when it's fresh in our mind versus waiting until next month and then having to literally go through and look at it again.
I make a motion then that we approve the audit so it can be submitted to wherever it needs to go.
I would second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Okay, Susan, if you will let Lori know that we need a finalized version because we've been looking at a draft. As soon as I get that from her, then I will get it in.
Okay, thank you. I will. And I'll let you know. I'll let you know as soon as that's approved.
Okay, thank you.
Sure thing.
I'm taking my leave. Have a good evening, everybody, and greetings from Tucson.
Thank you, Mary Ellen. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Because it would have been really tight if we waited until...
Well, that's what I'm thinking, because they would have had to have done the final.
Yes.
And then still get it back. This is just much easier.
Yes.
This, to me, looks like we're about 2 or 3 weeks ahead of schedule. We'll look good.
Yes.
Okay. So should we move on to the consent agenda?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. Does anybody have any issues with our meeting minutes?
Nope.
I read them online yesterday.
And our study session meeting minutes?
No.
Okay. We got correspondence.
Yes.
We got a card.
We actually got correspondence. So Lori Van Court sent a card to the Board of Trustees, Pines and Plains Libraries, care of me. So I opened it and read it, but I thought I would read it to you now because it's your correspondence. So it's dated May 5th of 25. Dear trustees, I wanted you all to know how wonderful the Shelley Reed author event was at the Elizabeth Library this past Saturday. Elizabeth's staff and friends made it an absolutely delightful experience. Everything was perfect: setup, sound, author introduction, and a lovely reception after Miss Reed's talk. This was the best author talk I've ever attended.
Wow.
Pines and Plains Libraries book clubs are a treasure. The Elizabeth Club meetings are always a highlight of my month. The care of and planning of our meetings make them one of a kind. This is the best thing about small public libraries. And it's signed Lori. She's our former, the position where Sarah is now, the branch manager.
Mm-hmm. She knits with us, doesn't she?
Yes.
She hasn't been lately, but I know she has other projects.
So I'll pass this around for those of you who are here. Okay. If you'd like to look at Lori's card.
Okay. And then the April bank reconciliations.
Okay, I guess that's me. The amount in the accounts are as follows: CBC checking account $13,300.31. The new CBC checking account $918,257.79. The CBC payroll account $91,817.36. The Colorado Trust, $746,175.81. The C-Safe 1, $606,901.06. And the C-Safe 2 account, $735,287.02. And the gross total is $3,111,739.35. And I don't have the amount of interest we earned. Maybe next time.
Well, if you look at the figures on our,
I don't have those figures, though.
We do have them in front of us. Almost 2,000 in each account. There's $2,000 more in each account, approximately.
Yeah.
I mean, since we've changed to those deals, we have literally doubled our interest that we're getting, and I'm so tickled that, I mean, it points out to the fact that we've increased our deal by $33,000, which is phenomenal. I mean, compared to what we were doing before, it's just mind-boggling.
Yes.
And the April budget to actual, if you look at page 3 of the profit and loss budget versus actual, and it's the third line from the bottom, it looks like this guy here. So for January through April of 2025, we spent up to the end of April, we spent $425,291.26. And so that is 27.41% of the budget. And January through April is like 33% of the year. So we're still under. We've done some like preloading things where we've had to spend money through that. And I also, I can share that in my report. I'll just make a note of that. I'll share something else in my report.
Okay. So do we have a motion to accept the consent agenda?
I would make a motion to accept the consent agenda. Agenda as presented.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, committee reports, the BOCC meeting update.
That's you.
Yeah, that's me. So it was really this last Wednesday, it was very quiet. They recessed at 9:23. About all they discussed was all the damage that was done by the other storm that we had a couple of weeks ago. And Elkhorn, I think it's Elkhorn Ranches, and it's like the corner Delbert Road and County Line on the east side of Delbert. I think that's about where they were. But they had quite a lot of damage. And many, many people jumped in to help everybody out. And I know today they were going to have some kind of a meeting for anybody else that needed more help. And there's the one that you and I went to.
I did go to one, guys.
Yes. That was 2 weeks ago.
That was a miracle. Okay.
That one lasted quite a while.
We were there to almost noon. That one. 11:30, I think. Yeah.
There was a lot of stuff that is like, I was saying, that's why I was so astonished. I was like, usually I go and I get the 2 hour meetings. And then this last one only lasted 23 minutes. And I was like,
okay. The one that we went to, there was a lot of discussion about who should get extra funds that are not already in the budget.
It seems that the sheriff's department was looking for more money, and multiple departments got up and said there was a budget. You need to stick to the budget. If you need more money, you have to get it in your budget for next year.
And I thought I was real proud of the other departments.
So, and that was what was going on. Because it's like, and I also found out that the sheriff's department, they lease their vehicles. They do not purchase their vehicles. So
I thought that was interesting.
Yes, I thought that was another interesting thing. It's like you go there and you find all these interesting things.
So they pay a monthly ever. I mean,
they're leasing the vehicles. The department is leasing.
So it's just a straight cost in there at the end of wherever.
I think it was about $20,000 a year per vehicle. That was the lease cost.
And that way, I think that, my opinion, doesn't mean it's right. No. That way, they never have to worry about updating and replacing vehicles. They're just leasing.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if that leased vehicle has all the extra stuff that police vehicles require. And them, or if that's another cost for them, but anyway, it was very interesting. It was a good meeting. I always seem to learn something else new every time I go there. So, and also while I was saying there, I will be. We kind of have to come up with another schedule to get people rolling into going to the meetings. So if we can get that. Think about it, please, because I know I'm going to be gone in July and some of August. And I know, Lisa, you're going to be gone in August. So
I'm going to be gone in July. I leave July 25th. So if that meeting is, I'll be gone July 25th and back August 5th, back August 8th.
And I will be. Okay. Back by the time Lisa's going. So we'll look at the schedule.
So look at our calendars and we'll come up with, we'll have people raise hands.
Okay.
Sound good?
Okay.
Foundation meeting update. I think that is.
She's our new president.
Ooh. That's kind of terrifying. So Morel and Alessandra were there for the meeting, and Wendy was also there, and Sarah Coleman. So we talked about, we elected new officers. We talked about who we could recruit to bring on to the foundation board, and we talked about all the things that we need to do. We're going to do some training. I sent out a link for some training, and we'll do some training in the foundation meetings. We're contacting people for new or to also participate. So we're talking about doing fundraisers, and we're also talking about grants that we can apply for. And I wanted to, there were two grants that we had mentioned, I think, in the foundation meeting, and I wanted to bring up to you guys as well, to see if you wanted us to go ahead with the grants. So one of the grants, we only have like 2 weeks left to apply for this round. Thank you, Nat. It's called the Charge Ahead Colorado EV Charging Grant. And so there's several, so it's open May 12th through June 13th for one portion of the grant, and then it's offered three times a year, so we could apply another time if we don't make it this time. And then there's another portion of the grant that is open year round. And so I just Alessandra's already taken a look at this, and so I copied a couple. If anybody would like to look at the grant, I have a couple copies of the application. But it's a pretty substantial grant. Let me find my other copies. I don't know who else is interested in looking at it.
What's the dollar amount that it's?
I'll let you know.
It's pretty substantial.
So this would be to help install EV charging stations at the library?
Yes.
I like it.
Yeah. So
I'm really dumb about this. Ooh, that's a nice amount. So they install, and I know that you, Susan, have a vehicle.
Right.
What does it cost you per month on your utility bill to be able to charge your vehicles?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look. I set my charger at home so that it charges during the cheapest rate for me.
Oh, no, you're fine.
And you're welcome to keep that if you want. I have extra copies somewhere.
See, that's my only question so we put a charging, and just asking, we put a charging station in at the library.
Mm-hmm.
How much does that cost us as the library for people to be using that? Or do they pay as they use?
Well,
I have no clue.
I believe that they would pay as they use, because most everywhere you can't charge for free. It's typically, there's like different brands of chargers.
Okay.
And you have to have the app on your phone, and you have to put your credit card number in there. And then when you use that charger, it will, it charges your credit card for you.
Okay. See, that's awesome. Yeah. I had no clue.
And there's different types of chargers. Like the one I have at home is like the slow boat to China, because I can charge it all night. But you can, and they're quite expensive, like the fast chargers. With this grant, you can get the fast chargers, but they're a lot more money. But it's still like, when I first got the car, I used the fast chargers, and it was still only like about $20 to fully charge my car.
That answers my questions. The fact that we could charge, then if we put the charging station in, it's a service to the community, but it's not costing us anything if we were to get the grant.
At this point in time, to the best of my knowledge, that probably, if we had a charging station, I think that is the only charging station.
No,
there's one just across the street here in Kiowa, and then there's one also in Main Street, Elizabeth, just off. Mm-hmm. It's like not too far. You can see it from the town offices.
Okay.
So it's not too far. And those were, the one here and the one in Elizabeth were installed through a program through Core Electric. So if I was a Core Electric customer, I would get a discount using that charger, but I'm not. So the times that I've needed it, it's still not that much money.
Well, I think that it would be great for the library, only because people could come and charge. And while they're charging, they could come in and be patrons.
Right, yes. Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we wouldn't get any money from the charger itself. We would just get the additional traffic coming to the library. Is that correct?
Yes.
I'm assuming so. We'll have to kind of wait. I mean, go through the process or look through the grant application form and all that. I'm assuming that's the case.
Do we need to make a motion? Well, it isn't. Well, no, it's part of our foundation meeting. It's a grant. Do you want a motion to give you?
It would be the foundation, I believe, that would be applying for the grant.
Yeah, so I don't think we have
to. So we need to do that at our next foundation meeting. Okay, that works.
And then there's another grant, which is a smaller grant. It's the Anschutz Family Foundation. And the maximum amount is, it says typical grants range between $5,000 and $10,000. So what I had proposed to do for this year, I think it's open, the application deadline is July 1st. So Kim is waiting for, she's waiting to hear back whether AARP has funded the Kiowa Senior Center grant that she applied for. So what she applied for a grant for them to have internet access at the senior center and also buy them the equipment and like so many laptops so they can have a little laptop lab. So she's supposed to hear the end of this month whether they got that grant. And she wrote the grant for the senior center. So what I was recommending is that if she doesn't get it through AARP, that she applies for this Anschutz grant. And she can probably use a lot of what she's already done to apply for it. But then for us to like still keep this in mind and maybe closer to the point of where we're really ready to build, we could ask them and we could ask them specifically because they want like economically disadvantaged children and youth, seniors and people with disabilities. So we could ask them like to contribute to the children's area or something like that.
Yeah.
So, or, you know, as we're, or whatever we want to do, but that would be.
So am I right in a, does Anschutz, doesn't he live in this county or not?
No.
No, he does not. That's another.
Yeah.
Billionaire.
Yeah.
You're thinking of Malone.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, you're fine.
but that's, I mean, this is the kind of organization that we're going to be approaching. So what we're going to do with the foundation is to go to a bigger library. We'll go to Denver Public Library and search their big databases, come up with a list of organizations like this and evaluate, you know, how much money we can ask them for and just write tons of grants. To see what we can get. So
my thought is everyone that we can dip our finger into, let's try to hit it.
Yeah.
I mean it obviously it's going to take somebody that can spend the time to write it and get it submitted by the proper dates.
I think, you know, and once we know how much money and once we've got a couple of grants under our belt, then we can start like reusing terminology and, you know, it'll be more of a cut and paste kind of situation. So
that entrance grant has very specific ways of going about it. They tell you to write a letter of introduction first. It's very specific what you have to do. So I think if you look at that stuff that I copied, it'll give you kind of a background of what you have to do before you even apply for the grant. And they seem very, I don't know, down home-ish the way they're going about it. If you read that through that stuff, they seem very, you know, open to different kinds of people applying. So anyway.
I got an extra copy.
You have to write a letter of introduction telling them who you are.
And who you're, you know, what you're applying for, or kind of just probably just sort of an overview.
Tells you how to address it to actually this, I think her name is Susan Anschutz. She's one of the family members that pretty much runs it.
I saw this at Foundation, I think.
Okay.
That's all for the Foundation then.
Okay. Director's report.
Okay. So the brainstorm I had that I wanted to share with you after the audit. So what this year, as we budget for 2026, it's going to be different because there's a new property tax law that's going into place. And so it's going to reduce the amount of money that we are going to be receiving. So you've probably seen that the Elizabeth Fire Department, I don't know, did they already, was that already on the ballot?
Yes,
they lost.
Bummer. So the reason that they put that on the ballot is because they're going to get less money next year because of the property tax law that's going to go into effect. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm going to be more of an expert on this. The one piece that I can remember is that they say that we can only have a 10% growth over 2 years. So if we grow 6%, say in 2026, in 2027, we can only grow 4% because it's a total of 10%. So even if we had the capability, or even if that property tax that came in was like 8%, we could only take 4% because we have that 10% cap over 2 years. So I'll be learning more about that and trying to relay what I learned to you guys. But I've already at the all staff meeting, I let the staff know. I let them know my rationale over the past few years. I've been trying to give, you know, like we got a, I can't remember exactly what it was, 6.6% or something like that. And so if that's what we got for property tax, that's what I raised their wages and their salaries. But I'm not going to be able to give them nice big raises like that. I mean, like the first year I was here, we gave gigantic raises. We went through the salary survey. The second year, we gave very generous raises because of the property tax. And I did the same thing with the property tax. And then this year, I did the same thing. You know, I gave them the same amount that the property tax was. But I imagine that we're going to be getting less. So I've tried to just let them know that I'll try to give people, you know, at least a cost of living, you know, so that they're, you know, kind of in line with that. But I just wanted to let you guys know that I don't think that we're going to have such a delightful amount to be tucking away as we have been over the past couple of years.
But does that, so then after the second year, does that go back to the total 10% for the next 2 years?
No, I took it to our lawyer, and I don't exactly, she says that we can choose our starting point, and I don't understand well enough to say what that is. So we can choose like the highest amount that we've received over however many years and use that as our starting point. So then it's going to be like, you know, however much, 10% over 2 years over that amount. So
even if we have increase in number of buildings and stuff that's being.
Right. We just don't get that money. So, yeah, we just it's savings. It's a savings for the property owners. So anyway, we'll. I'll try and keep you posted as I learn more about it. So this is all in my director's report. I'm going to just blaze through it. We were in the news, in the Elbert County News, with a really nice article about Shelley Reed, the author event. And our newsletter is still going out to almost 2,000 people a month. And last issue highlighted our summer reading program. And I think I've added you guys all to that newsletter.
I'm getting to mention okay. that.
And then we're still planning to hire substitutes in Elbert, Kiowa, and Simla. We just are still kind of looking for people and trying to get that done. Facilities. So as you came in, you may have noticed how tall the grass is out here. I mean, we've had a lot of rain, and we lost our lawn care. He emailed me at the beginning of May, and he had double knee surgery, and so he's not going to be mowing for us. So if you know of anyone, I would appreciate, you know, if just refer me to anybody that you know of, because we're really, really trying to find, we desperately need it. So
does it have to be a lawn service, or can it be an individual?
It can be an individual, because that's what we had before. So, yeah, that would be awesome. So, okay. Just, yeah, if you've got just anybody, that would be great. Just email me whatever you know.
Well, what about the lawnmower? Do you have a lawnmower, or does he have to have his own equipment?
No, we do have a lawnmower, so okay. that should be fine. So, yeah, that would be great. And we've got weed whackers and stuff like that, too, so.
So I do have a handyman that does stuff occasionally. Perhaps okay. he might be interested. I can ask okay. him.
Okay, that would be great.
And it would just be in Kiowa?
No, yeah, it's Elizabeth and Kiowa. Yeah, for both okay. locations.
There's grass at Elizabeth. I don't remember. Oh, yeah, a little bit of grass.
Yeah, okay. there is grass. Yeah, there's trimming and grass and so all that kind of stuff.
Okay, I'll ask him for sure.
Yeah, thank you. That would be great. Thanks. I appreciate that. But just kind of keep your antenna up if you hear about anybody.
Yeah.
And then a local electrician,
his wife and their children come into the library a lot. And he looked at the pole by the circulation desk and he said, how do you guys even work around that? So it's on the, as you're facing the circulation desk, it's on the right side. So what he did was free of charge. He came in and moved the pole to the center. So at least it's not like getting in the way of the person who's working on that right side. So we're really appreciative of that. And the staff is just like really excited by that. A couple of things that have come up in the past 2 days, 3 days. So we had our parking lot regraded at Elizabeth. Because there's dirt parking and then there's the paved center parts. So we had the dirt parking area regraded and then the big empty field we had regraded. We've got the summer reading program event coming up on Saturday. So we wanted to make sure we didn't have like huge lumps of dirt that kids are going to have to climb over. And then we discovered that our neighbors, we think it was Friday, have been digging in our property. So our assumption,
we're talking the construction,
right? So Elizabeth, we're back in Elizabeth. So I think that they were starting the swale and they dug a gigantic we kind of decided how big it was. Well, we measured it, it's at least 4 feet deep and it's full of water at the moment. So outside the fence, there's a grate by the retaining pond. And so they, right outside the grate, they dug a rectangle that's got 4 feet of water in it now. And so what I did,
it's not fenced in.
It is not fenced in. And so I've been speaking with the town of Elizabeth, with the town manager, because he wants to know about how the retaining wall between the two properties is doing. And they are working on that almost constantly still. And so I've been telling him that. And so I emailed him immediately and said that they had dug a hole and we did not know that they were digging a hole and it's a danger and it's right before our summer reading program kickoff. And so he had a meeting with them at 9 a.m. This morning. I emailed him photographs of the situation and I told him what was going on. And so he was going to ask them to put up a fence around it for us. But I can show you a photograph of the.
This is pretty far down. It's close. Is this close to the inlet grate going into the?
It's right below that grate. So
I wonder why they dug the hole.
My assumption is, I haven't heard back yet. My assumption is that they are preparing to do the swale. So here's the,
which we approved.
Yeah, I know we approved it, but I was always
there's not a 4 foot deep hole.
So there's the hole and there's the grate right there. So I can share you with you guys. I've got the photos on my laptop.
Holy moly.
So, yeah.
So I don't understand.
You can drown a few kids in that.
What I don't understand what the whole significance is to our grate. I don't know. Does that mean they're going to put another inlet grate into our inlet?
I don't know.
Susan, have you tried talking to the actual builder, the guy that we met at the Elizabeth meeting? He seemed pretty approachable.
I don't have contact information for him. I would have to dig around to find it. Okay, I'm going to show you guys the picture that I'm showing them.
Yeah.
Right. So let me
see. Because when I got the impression the swale was just going to be an easement to let the drainage go down to the pond that we had.
Right. To show.
It may be not that they were digging 4 foot holes. Maybe because of all the rain that we've had, they had to dig it deeper to get rid of some of the water and apparently didn't work.
Come on, Jess.
Do you think that has something to do with it?
No.
Okay, so let me find the right window to share with you. Okay, well, this is still pretty small. I don't know if you guys can see it. Let me increase it in size.
Yeah.
So I'll make it. So there you can see the.
Yeah.
And we put a stick or a long branch that had broken off. And so that there's a foot between the top of the water and the edge. And there were four feet of water down in the hole. So, so anyway.
Because I never got the impression that anything like this had anything to do with the swale.
Well, maybe it's a temporary thing that they did because of all the water that was accumulating, but it makes no sense having it right in front of the grate and below the grate.
So as far as I can tell, I was out there on Thursday. Thursday morning, I was out there, and that had not been dug yet. And I was off on Friday, and then the rains came on Saturday. So we think it must have been dug on Friday. Our employee mowed out there because of the summer reading program kickoff. She mowed Friday around 6 p.m. and she thinks that she saw the pile of dirt then. But anyway, it doesn't matter. We've contacted the builder. We've let them know that we're not happy about it, and the town is really not happy with them either. So, but I just wanted to let you guys know what's going on. Also at Elizabeth University Technical Assistance Program, one of the students who missed our original meeting came out last week. That's when I was out in the field and there was no hole in the field. And then we're going to be meeting with the UTAP advisor and our consultant, Anders, coming up, just kind of like trying to coordinate the schedules between their group and our group. And we met with Anders virtually on May 13th, and he gave us homework, which we've done. We had to tell him how many items in each area of the collection, and then he wanted to know what functions we wanted on which of the different floors. So we talked through, Sarah and I talked through about, what makes more sense to have on the first floor and the second floor, and then pretty much Sarah and I had already agreed on that. And then we sent that to Anders. So that's pretty good. Kiowa, and this is also on the agenda coming up, but I am working to get another quote for this project. And so I'll be meeting with another company next week, and we'll have a quote. So I don't know. So I was here on Tuesday, I was here for the coffee chat, and that was right after the weekend where they had a lot of hail here on that Saturday. And there's a lot of, I don't know what to call them, crumbs from the roof on the sidewalk, particles that came off. So my concern is that we had hail damage to the roof. So I've gone ahead and filed an insurance claim, and then the adjuster will come out and tell us if we did indeed have hail damage. So we'll know. We should know like within the next week or so. We have a new laptop.
As far as the bathroom, I did speak to the member. I told you I was going to talk to the plumber, see if he wanted to, was interested in looking at it. And he said he would be interested. The question is, he said, tell me when you want me to come. And it had to be someone from your office to show them what exactly you want done. So I can give you later, I can send you his phone number and you can give him a call.
Okay, that sounds great. Then I'll have another quote. Okay.
Yeah, just have another idea. That's all.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
That sounds great. Yeah, that sounds good. And actually, Matt has the new computer here. He's been working on it. Nat repaired a computer at Elizabeth, and then Simless phones have been moved to the new system, so we're all completely over. So I tried to close out the old checking account last week, and I got an error message. So now I have to call some extra people to close it out. So I'm still working on that. I've got our statistics attached. We can maybe look at those in a moment. All staff day. Thank you guys so much for coming. We really, it was just a really good day and just really appreciated having you share lunch with us. And we got good feedback from staff. And we learned about online databases, new procedures, and had good discussions about challenges. And the summer reading program, I'm going to sign you all up for the summer reading program. I have not done it yet, unless you tell me now that you don't.
I'm on. I'm doing it.
Oh, you're already on? Okay. All right. She's good. Then I won't sign you up, Lisa. Okay. So you just track the minutes that you read, anything that you read, if you're reading online, if you're reading a magazine, whatever, track that and enter that to win prizes.
There's an app that you can download too.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, is there? Yes. Oh, good. I need it.
Yeah.
Yes. The girls at knitting this morning were asking, do audiobooks count?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
And I didn't know, and yes. I didn't come bother yes. you again. Yes. Okay.
We used to also include videos for the kids if they watched a video based on a book.
Oh.
I haven't heard that that we do that here, but no.
Okay. If you have
a reluctant reader, you know, in your family or something like that, I would do that.
Okay.
Two summer reading program kickoffs Saturday. I'll be working a little bit Saturday for the one in Elizabeth. And then Simla's is June 3rd. The foundation meetings are the third Saturday of each month at 10. The next one is Saturday, June 21st at 10. And Shelley Reed author talk, you've already heard about. That was great. I encourage you to come to the Active Minds Van Gogh class, learning about the artist Van Gogh. Mm-hmm. That's Saturday, June 14th at 10:30 at Elizabeth. We had our first coffee chat here in Kiowa this Tuesday, and we had there were eight total. And then the coffee chats continue in Elizabeth and Simla. If you want some leftover donuts, they're right there, but they're from Tuesday.
That's so delightful. I just love that.
Right, Lisa. That's right. Thank you for coming. Yeah,
I enjoyed that so much.
It was really sweet. It was a great group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Kiowa typically does not have a story time because the library, we couldn't really accommodate it. Kim does story time at the school during the school year, and then we're going to have a story time at the park over the summer. So that'll start next week. And we're going to have a booth at Elbert Day on July 12th. Simla's craft events are popular. Talking with the kids at the school. We've been trying to talk with kids at every school about summer reading program. We've just become a Family Search affiliate. So if you do genealogy, one of the websites that you use a lot, you'll create a free Family Search account online. And as a Family Search affiliate, we at the library have access to more information than you can get online at home. So I haven't played with that yet, but it's through the LDS church. So we had to apply through the church in Salt Lake City to become a Family Search affiliate, but it's free for us, and it puts us on a national database for genealogists to come and use our library. So it's kind of a cool thing.
Plus.
So if you use Family Search and you come into the library and you log into Family Search, you'll get more than what you get at home.
And wasn't that in your new? I read that somewhere.
It's in our newsletter.
That's what I thought. Because yes. See, I have done tons of genealogy over the years. So I was interested in that.
So, to subscribe to Ancestry Library Edition, it's very expensive.
Outrageous.
So this is it's an inexpensive way for us to increase our genealogy capability. We already have one database through EBSCO, which is pretty good. It's called it used to be called Heritage Quest Online. Do you remember what it's called? That's looking it up right now.
Now, can we access that one from home?
You can get that one from home.
Okay.
It's called My Heritage.
My Heritage. For my family, I don't know. My family has always been fighting over that book that was written about one particular part of the tree, but we only have limited copies of that book. But that entire book is published on My Heritage. So my family doesn't have to fight anymore. But I have the copy of the books.
Gee whiz, good for you.
But I can also access it online because I'm just snooty. So anyway, and then genealogy classes, we're going to start doing a series of genealogy workshops in the fall. And Gail Gardner, who's the president of the Running Creek chapter of the DAR, Daughters of the American Revolution, is going to do, I think it's like a half day from like 10 to 1 or something like that to get started.
And that one I'm going to want to come to.
Yeah, and that I will be there too. That one will be an introductory one, and then she'll do more later that are more advanced. So then one more thing I wanted to share with you on a national level. So the Texas, well, actually, it's not Texas based. It's the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals made a recent ruling for a public library. And well, actually, there's two things I want to talk to you about. Sorry, just found another one. This just came up again recently. So the last Friday, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled, they had what's called a bank of judges, 17 judges from that Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and they made two rulings against libraries. The first ruling, these are the two important things to hear from this. The first is that public library patrons have no right to receive information under the First Amendment. So that has been like a keystone of what we do as a library, that the First Amendment, the right to get information has been part of what the public library does. And so the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is saying that that is not the case. And then the other part that's important from that is also they called a library's collection decision as government speech, which treats it differently. It's not a good outcome from that. So I have a PDF of a newspaper article that kind of explains what happened with this ruling. But part of the problem with this ruling is that, so this is from the Fifth Circuit Court making a ruling about a Texas case. They're based in New Orleans, but a court in Iowa, another circuit court, had a contradictory ruling. And so now the two circuit courts don't agree. So the other one, it creates what they call a direct split with the Eighth Circuit over whether public libraries engage in government speech. So that this split between the two circuit courts makes the Supreme Court more likely to step in and settle the debate. That's kind of key stuff for public libraries, and it's kind of.
Does the National Library Association or whatever, do they have somebody, should it go to the Supreme Court? Are they going to, is there
We have a lawyer.
I was going to say, is there a lawyer going to speak for the libraries?
Yes.
Are you guys warm or not?
Yeah, go ahead and shut the door. It's cold.
Getting colder. Yeah.
So the American Library Association is involved in this. They were a part of this lawsuit in Texas. It's for the, I don't know how to pronounce it. You might know, L-L-A-N-O, Lano. I don't know how to, okay. It's not far from Austin. It's a small.
Oh, you're talking a town. It's like.
County, Lano County or.
Anything down there that's got, it's Lano. Okay. Normally, but okay. Doesn't mean I'm right.
Okay.
But the Court of Appeals is in New Orleans.
Right. The Court of Appeals is in New Orleans.
Yes.
But the case was in. So they apparently this case still has to go to court, but it has not gone to trial yet. But it's just rulings on the case before they go to trial.
So has it been put before the court, or is it, I mean, are these opinions or are they, where did they take action?
So they struck down a lower court ruling. So it says it's coming from the full bench of the New Orleans based Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. And the decision is 10-7, striking down a lower court ruling that ordered Lano County to temporarily return 17 books it had removed from the public library shelves. So they said it was okay for them.
It looks to me then like it was a ruling. It wasn't like they were.
Yeah. So okay. It was a ruling. So anyway.
It's going to be decided by the Supreme Court is what is going to happen. Somebody's going to appeal it, obviously.
Yeah. So, but I'll send you out that the newspaper article because it kind of explains it pretty easily. And and then the other thing that's just come out too, just I wanted to give you a heads up that I'm going to have to change a policy or add a policy. So the governor just signed a new law, and where I'm going to have to add it to our policy is that, so this is about immigration. So the law enforces the Fourth Amendment rights at public spaces like schools and clinics. So it says that ICE, the immigration control, what are they called? I can't remember.
It's ICE.
ICE. Yeah. They must present a judicial warrant to enter non-public areas of public schools, public child care centers, public health care facilities, or public libraries. And that we are required to adopt and publish a policy by September 1st of this year. So I've got to write a new part of our policy, and I was just going to give you a heads up that that's coming. And I can also.
Basically, what we're going to say is you're going to have a warrant to be able to enter.
And the warrant has to be signed by a judge.
Ah.
So if you're like, if they in Elizabeth, if they wanted to come into the back area or into Sarah's office, they would need to bring a warrant signed by a judge in order to do that. So that's just what we'll update our policy to say. So I sent you the information on that so you can do more exploring if you want. But I did not send you the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. So that's my whole report. Sorry about that. That was kind of long-winded.
You covered a lot of stuff. Thank you. It was very good.
Okay. All right. The Kiowa ADA restroom renovation study session. Now, we got Alessandra mentioned her plumber. She's going to send us that information.
It's a contractor, too, apparently, but. You'll just have to decide for yourself if he's up to the job, but he's interested, put it that way. And he's worked in the area as a local guy.
Okay.
So I'll give you his phone number.
Okay. So because we had this study session and we talked about, you know, the project and kind of, you know, went over things again. Was there anything, were there any motions that you guys wanted to make or anything like that?
I believe that we just we're still where we we're
stuck in limbo.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
So I think that it's status quo at this point.
Right. Well, Susan said that she had someone that was willing to give an estimate, and if this, and if Chase, who has the company here, and Elizabeth is willing to give an estimate, then maybe we should make a motion to see what they have to say.
Yeah. From there. Do we need to make a motion for that? Because we've been, it's an ongoing project. Yeah. I don't think we need the motion.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm because we
earlier said that we're status quo, and I don't know what the status quo is exactly. I mean, this would be new.
Because I know while we were there and we discussed a few different things, because this building is limited and the parking is very limited, and parking on the, didn't Kim say she had to go and save somebody from almost getting?
Well, she helped an elderly patron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come in from that direction. I think the original motion, if I remember, was that we would do up to a certain dollar amount or something like that. Yeah,
we were up to, I think it was 100,000.
The original motion initially was to make the ADA concerns of the Kiowa Library a concern, like a priority to get fixed. And then once that got underway and a company was decided upon to offer that job to, the motion then was made to allow a purchase or a cost of up to $100,000 for the project.
That's what
I mean. That's as far as we got in terms of on our side. We were kind of going back and forth between the board and that company, and it is kind of grinded to a standstill.
Yeah.
So I don't think motion should be made unless we choose
to. No, I don't think so either. I think we're right where we've been. You're still trying to find a contractor.
So I'll bring, I'll review the two quotes, and then I'll make a recommendation to the board on which quote we should accept. Okay.
And then a motion.
Right. Then
Then we'll make another motion.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay. Financial updates. Add Alessandra to the bank accounts. Is that?
I make motion that we add Alessandra Navata to the bank accounts at Community Bank of Colorado, the CSAFFE accounts, and the Colorado Trust.
Would second that. Okay. Gonna be quick.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, then we have remove Alan Krennick from the bank accounts at Community Banks of Colorado, CSAFE, and Colorado Trust. I would just say wait until we get Alessandra on to.
Does that mean I'll have to go sign a deal again to take me off? No, okay.
So do you want to do that at the next meeting?
Yeah, let's get Alessandra on and then we'll take
Alan.
My mind's, it's getting late. I'm tired.
It is late.
Yes. No, that's okay. We're doing all right,
though. We're doing good.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's going to be deferred.
So what is this about? Regular transfers from Community Banks of Colorado, regular checking account to Community Banks payroll checking account?
Right. So
did we do a deal for this month yet?
No. So we're getting to the point where I need to put more money into that. So when we run payroll, it's not quite $30,000 a payroll, and we're running about two payrolls a month. So
63 or whatever.
Yeah, 63, which is too much. But if we did 60, that would cover, you know, because it's not quite 30,000. So if you want to just if somebody will make a motion and approve, you know, the transfer each month of $30,000 from the regular checking to the payroll checking, then we can.
Okay. The president is looking at me like, get this going, Morel.
60 per month.
Okay. I make a motion that we make regular transfer from Community Bank of Colorado's regular checking account to Community Banks of Colorado's payroll checking account each month at $60,000.
Yes.
I would second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Okay.
Public comment. Okay, so do we need to do that transfer next week?
We're probably okay. We can, I think we're probably okay.
Because I'm open next week, open. I mean, if we're, I'm not going anywhere. Okay, I mean, perfect. My last judging assignment for a while was this last weekend, so.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I don't think we have any public here.
Yeah, no public.
That's public. I work here, so.
Okay. You're too funny.
any other items, business from any of the board members?
Nope.
Anybody have anything? We're good?
No, I'm going to make a comment, though.
Okay.
Just a compliment. The newsletter that I received was very informative, and I appreciate that we're getting it. Okay, that's it. I'll be quiet.
Okay. Next meeting, Wednesday, June 25th, 6 p.m. at Simla.
Question, are we going to do a study session in June?
I
think we not do it. May I make I'm going to suggest it's summertime. If we don't have a need for the study sessions, right. We don't have
them. Unless we get some forward movement on
the bid here.
The bids.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
There's not much to do.
Okay.
Unless you want to come and mow.
You know what? I don't mind mowing that much, but I need my riding lawnmower.
You need like a, I don't know, hay baler.
I was going to say, you're going to need a swather out there, not a mower.
Yeah, exactly.
We're frugal. The board can mow.
Okay. So do we, anything else? Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Second it.
I'll let somebody else second all in this favor. Time.
I think that was Alessandra.
That was Lisa.
Okay.
Lisa.
Oh, it was Lisa?
Lisa seconded.
Okay.
Did
we approve it?
We need to call a motion.
I can't find the light in Klaus, and I'm seeing.
I think I asked. I think.
Well, all in favor?
Okay, all in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.